Back to what we said we were going to start in the book of Romans in chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Let us pray and we'll start reading there. Actually, we'll probably start laying this out, then we'll start reading because we taught something off camera last week at the 9:30 session that I want to go over this week. I think it'll help you. It helped me studying for it. Had some conversation with some other people about it during the week and it made me feel better about teaching it this morning. So let us pray. Father, we're so thankful for this day. We're thankful for all that you have done for us through your Son, Jesus Christ. And that someone today, Lord, may hear how he died for their sins, how he was buried with their sins, but was raised without their sin to justify them freely, to save them if they would put their faith in him and him alone. Perhaps they do that today. We pray they do. For all that you've done by him, through him, and for him, and in him, we give you the praise, honor, and glory. And everyone said amen. All right, so last week, the thing that I really truly enjoyed it, and it came about just by a question that somebody presented, and we got carried away with it. And when I say that, in a good way, we got carried away with it. And so we got carried away, we talked about the way man is made up, that spirit, that soul, and that body. Now, I already know for sure that there are some people that will disagree with what I see because I know how some people teach the spirit and the soul and the body. Some people believe that the spirit and the body make up the soul. But through the scriptures, it's clear that there's three different parts. All right. Now, you'll have to hang on to what I show you in verses, and you can either believe it or not believe it. If you don't, that's okay. I mean, we don't have to fight about it. We're going to show it, right? So what I want to do, I want to show you the man, the way God made man in Scripture. Now, you all know how wonderful I am at drawing and illustrating stuff. So here we go, right? So what I showed you last week and what I believe is soul. I believe that is the deep part of emotion of man, but it's also the life of man, okay? The Bible says in Genesis 2:7, that God breathed breath into the nostrils of Adam and he became what? A living soul. So some people say, well, it's a living soul. But also, in the book of Job 14, he said the soul of a man within him. So that tells me there's a soul within a man, right? This is the part of man that cannot be x-rayed, right? Doctors can go in and find all this stuff, but they can't find the soul of man. That's the life that God gave it, right? Now, here's where some people are going to differ with me, and that's okay, because I'm not claiming to be, you know, anything special. You just follow me and I'll show you. All right? Spirit. I believe it's here. It begins there. Okay? It's not all of it, but it begins there. And I'm going to show you why I believe that. Okay? Now this out here, we'll give it some arms. Right? And it has legs and such. Right? So this is the body. Right? When Paul is dealing with the body in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 in relationship to the body of Christ, he's saying feet, hands, right, eyes, ears. He's using that in a reference, an analogy to the church, the body of Christ, even though being spiritual, right? So the body is made up of members, arms, legs, so forth and so on, right? All right, here's the thing that I want you to see. The spirit is the part of us that's to be God conscious. And I'm not going to spell that big word, so I'll abbreviate. That's the spirit, God conscious, right? The soul is the part of us that's our self conscious. The body, the part of us, is our world conscious. What part of you is sitting on the ground? Right. What part of you sees? What part of you touches? That's your world consciousness. The closest thing you have to this world is your body. This may not mean anything to you for a little while, but hopefully when I'm done, it'll make some sense to you. So you see, there's three parts of man: spirit, soul, and body. You agree? That's what God made us, right? Triune man. Okay? This, the spirit, is what God influences his spirit upon. And I'm going to show you that. In order for us to have light. See, back here, Adam had light. But Adam did what? He failed, right? He sinned against God. Was the garden a perfect place? Well, how could it be? You had a liar in it. You had a deceiver. No, in the garden you had a liar and deceiver. Where did he deceive them at? Not outside the garden. So was it perfect? The environment wasn't perfect if you got a deceiver and a liar inside of it. Who was the deceiver and the liar? The serpent, right? They were perfect. They were sinless. They weren't yet opened up to the fact that they were naked and so forth and so on, right? But inside that garden, there was a deceiver. And he came and he deceived. How did he deceive Eve? But what did he work on? He worked on her spirit. He worked on her mind. Am I right? Did he go up to her and say, hey, let's go have a party tonight? Ain't what he did. What did he do? He took the Word of God and started to work on her mind. He made her doubt. Where do you doubt at? He beguiled her. And then Paul says, unless you be beguiled like Eve, what? That your minds might be corrupted. What got corrupted with Eve? The mind. Watch. When the mind gets corrupted, what follows? When that gets corrupted, what follows? Your body ain't never gone anywhere your mind and your soul didn't tell it to go. Right? I mean, if you go out down here today and you kill 14 people, it's because you put that thing in your spirit and it got here. That got dark enough that it motivated you to go do what you did. What follows the mind and the soul? The body, the flesh. You see what happens? What happens in this, and this is where we've missed the boat, and I'm studying this and I'm going to continue to study it because we're all thinking about this flesh. Adam's flesh fell. You know where Adam fell? All three parts. He fell in his mind, he fell in his spirit, his soul, his heart, and he fell in what? His flesh. When God spoke to Adam, you think he spoke to him any different than he would speak to you? Hey, Adam, let me have your arm. I want to tell you something. No, he spoke in his ear. And what did he tell him not to do? Don't eat of that tree, Adam. Now, did he tell Adam that or he tell Eve that? He told Adam that, right? So where did Eve get it from? Adam, right? What did Satan do? He distorted what God commanded Adam not to do with who? With Eve. You understand? So, but how did he get her? The Bible says in the mind. You understand? Listen, this is stronger than you think. Most of us, not most of us, the world, we have learned very little about God. But what do we really know about? The things in the world. And where do we learn them? Through media. Television. When you were a kid, you might have sat in a sandbox and said a dirty word. By the time you were 18, you could cuss for 10 minutes without taking a breath. Why? Because you learned. You took it into your mind what you had seen on filthy television, what you'd heard from filthy people, and that filth entered that mind, and then it got here. Inside of here. And what comes out of there? The things we put in it. All right? So Adam over here had a life. Before the fall, he was in contact with God. What happened after the fall? He hid himself. So he thought, right? And the Bible says that Adam, they hid themselves amongst the trees, and they heard the voice of God walking in the garden, and he said to Adam, where are thou? Right? Well, we're over here because we found out we're naked. Who said you were naked, Adam? Right? So now somebody's revealed to them that they're naked. What happened? When they ate of the tree, revelation, the lights came on. Now they have undone what God had done, right? Now there's a new Adam and a new Eve. And they're not the same as they were before they fell. What did the first thing Adam do? Lord, that woman thou gavest me, he blames it on Eve. What does Eve do? Lord, that serpent, she blames it on the serpent, right? What do you do when you get in trouble? You blame somebody, don't you? Right? Listen, this all will mean something to you as we read the Scripture. I want to show you that I've studied this out. And I'm telling you that a lot of people, and I believe this, a lot of people have missed this thing because what they want to make sin is what they see out here. I'm telling you, it's deeper than that. You take the best man that you ever polished up and put a suit and tie on, standing behind a podium and calling preacher, pastor, whatever you want to call him, let me tell you something. You don't know what's washing around in there. And you don't know what's washing around in here. You can't see it. You can't x-ray it. But can I tell you that 100% of the time, all that's not pure? You can run a pretty horse out here through this yard. Man might look over and go, that's a pretty horse. You run a beautiful woman through that yard and everything will stop. Good Lord, where'd she come from? Don't y'all act like I'm lying. You men sit here beside your wives and do that. Don't you tell me you don't. You say, I'm better than that. Then pray for me. Folks, we're a Bible study. We ain't come to get stupid. We come to get the Word of God, right? Amen. I'm telling you what man has been doing since the fall of Adam. A pretty horse might affect, he might not even like horses. But you put a woman out there, and the show will stop, brother. Watch these carpenters. Watch these men that work on the road. Huh? They'll be going at it, man. Put a pretty woman by them, the whole world stops. Until she's out of sight. Folks, there's a reason for that. I think a woman's the prettiest thing that God ever put on earth. Thank God he put them here. A bunch of ugly men. I think it's a beautiful thing. I'm going to try to show you what the issue is. And when you get done with this here in a few minutes, I think you're going to have a better understanding of man's nature. Okay? Because what we do, we get better than the other guy. My hind leg, man. Right? My hind leg. You tell me a story about a man that was a well-known son of a well-known preacher. Everybody's subject to failure, man. And we all do from time to time. Look here in Romans chapter 1. That was just the precursor. Look at verse 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by sight. No, by faith, right? For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and all unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they were without excuse. Watch. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, and neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became what? And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, unto birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men leaving the natural use of the woman, burning their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of the error which is meet. And even as they did not like to retain God, where? In their knowledge. Where's that at? In their minds. God gave them over to a reprobate mind, and to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only to do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. And you thought the Bible was outdated. You just picked up the morning news and read it right there. Does that not sound like America and the world today? Why? Because man hasn't changed. That fallen nature of man has not changed. Now you might look at that and go, well, them poor people. No, that's us poor people right here in this room. Right? If you think, that word reprobate, I've heard that misused so many times. You know what that word really means? It means unapproved. It means rejected of God. What did God reject? Now when you're reading Romans chapter 1 here, you're reading a history lesson of what happened in Genesis up through Genesis 11 and then forward, obviously. But that's where God gave up. And He just said, go ahead. And what did he reject? He rejected their religious attempt to come up to him. Right? He rejected the flesh of man to say, you can come to me through your flesh. That's what he rejected. Well, why did man do that? Well, here's why man did it. Because Adam, if we'll put Adam here. We'll just say this. Adam fell, right? And what did the Bible promise Adam? If you eat of that tree, you shall surely what? Die. Did he die immediately? Well, no, he didn't, did he? He lived 900 years, right? So what you got in Adam here is a man who once he ate of that tree, he sinned against God, he then began to what? The process of death, right? Because eventually he died. Had he not have eaten of that tree, he'd have had what? Eternal life, right? Had he not disobeyed God. So that death got passed on from Adam on down to us, right? All right, I told you there's three parts of you, right? This part here, the God consciousness of you, your spirit, that's what God's going to impress upon first is your spirit. Okay? And when he impresses upon the spirit of the mind, you have to think, you have to make a decision. Right? Am I going to believe God or am I going to go on with what I'm doing? Man back there said they weren't going to believe God, they were going to continue to do what they were doing. So what happens is the spirit of man, it becomes alienated from the life of God. I don't know if I spelled that right or not. It becomes alienated from the life of God. So instead of the mind being full of light, what happens to it? It gets darkness. Now watch the scriptures tell you that. Not me. Watch this. Go back and look at it. Because when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. Neither were they thankful, but they became vain in their imaginations. Where are the imaginations? Right. What happened after that? Look. And their foolish hearts was what? Darkened. You see that? So the imagination here, instead of pulling in light into the mind, they were pulling in what? Darkness into the mind. What happened to that? Then they get darkness in here. You see that? So what does man need? He needs light. He can get that from anywhere. You can just pick up a book, Dr. Spock, and start reading it, and I'll get light. No. I can start going to church, and I'll get light. No. I can quit doing that, and I'll get light. No. There's only one source of light, and that's from the Lord Jesus Christ. That does come from His Word, by the way, right? So now what we need a second man. We're going to be identical as far as the way we're drawing, because I can only draw so much. All right. People don't like the idea. Can I tell you, the spirit and the soul are closely related and connected. Let me tell you that. But this is the life part of you right here. That's the life part of you. Okay? The spirit is the one who's going to bring in light or darkness, as we just said. That's God conscience, self-conscience, and this over here is world conscience. What happens is when the light goes off, this becomes selfish. Right? It's all about me. God's not included. That's what was happening with man. It's what's still happening with man today. Give me my brick home, give me my bass boat, give me my four-wheel drive, and all my money and all this, and who cares about God? Right? Don't retain God in your knowledge. Well, let me tell you what happens when you don't retain God in your knowledge. Bad things. Bad things come from people who do not retain God. Listen. You can't go to whatever seminary, whatever college and get this teaching. They ain't going to teach you. You know what they're going to teach you? How to get better out of your flesh. Right? I'm trying to get you to see how bad you are in your flesh. Something totally different. Right? So what's the second part of this thing? Let's start looking at some verses here. So you understand the spirit is God conscious. The soul is your self-conscious. And the body is the part of you that's connected to this world. This is what you're taste not, handle not, taste not, all that business. That's the world. Okay? And this body is what's closest to the world. Nobody's walking on the clouds. Right? Some people think they are, but they're not. All right? Look at verse 21 here first off. Because when they knew not God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, became vain their imagination, their foolish hearts were darkened. See? So then they began to profess themselves as being wise. What did Eve hear in the garden? If you eat of that, you'll become wise. You'll be like God, right? So there, what did they do? They rejected God. Did not retain Him in their knowledge. They rejected God. Now look at verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. What did God do there? He rejected them. See that? All right. When I say God rejected man, He rejected man as in man can do nothing out of himself to please God. Go back and look at the verse over here in verse 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as is written, the just shall live by how? By faith. You see that? Man cannot please God out of himself. God has given us a faith. The faith, He calls it in the book of Romans, to believe in. And that faith is the Lord Jesus Christ, how He came, He died on the cross, suffered a sin debt for all men, was buried, rose again the third day, and He reveals to us the faith through that book and through Paul's epistles. That's where our faith must be. God's faith to us. God was faithful. Christ was faithful. Now are we going to be faithful with the message? That's how we're going to live, right? So God rejected man. Said, nope, you can't give me righteousness. You've got none, right? Hold tight, man. Sometimes you got to watch the whole movie, right? Where did it begin? Go to 2 Corinthians. Let me show you where it began. As I do a lot of times, I jump in front of myself on this, but go ahead and turn over there anyway. 2 Corinthians, and look at chapter 11 and show you where it began. The same tool He used on Eve is the same tool He's using today. All right, now watch. Chapter 11, verse 3. But I fear lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety. What's the very next line? So that your what? Your flesh? No. So that your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in what? Christ. What's Paul worried about in that verse? Your flesh or your mind? He worried about your mind, didn't he? Because how did he corrupt Eve? Through the mind. You see that? So man fell right here in his mind. One, he didn't mind God, right? He went against what God told him to do. From that point forward, it was a beguiling of Eve. Adam takes part of what Eve offers him, right? And from that point forward, the light goes off. And how long did it take Cain to kill Abel? That was the son of Adam, right? Yeah. Right? Is Cain thinking of the light of the Lord, or is Cain thinking selfishly? Yeah. You know why? Because of that mind. And that mind pumped darkness in his heart over jealousy of his brother and his brother's offering to God being accepted, but his wasn't. And what did he do? He went and got right with God? No, he killed his brother, didn't he? He murdered him, right? You see how what you put in your mind is going to get down here. Okay? And most of the world out there today has been putting in garbage. What do you think it got in them? Garbage. Right? It's very dark, isn't it? You know, we talk about how dark the world is. Well, it starts in our minds. Go over to the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. I've heard this outwardly preaching and teaching since I was old enough to listen to a preacher. And it's always been about my outward man. Can I tell you, your problem is deeper than that? You listen close today, you're going to learn something about this thing that we've been struggling with about sin. You're going to learn something about it. Okay? It ain't what people... everybody's got this thing about sin, man. They just, well, you know, he does this or she does that. You need to go deeper. And this is what the Scripture will do for you. It'll take you deeper. Watch here in 2 and 1. And you have He quickened who were dead in sins and trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. You see the word spirit there is lowercase, right? Among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our what? Flesh. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the what? The mind. It got in through the mind gate. Right? And where by nature the children of wrath, even as others. What are we talking about? the man's nature, right? The nature of man. He just said that by nature we were children of wrath. What does that mean? We didn't have God's Spirit working in us. We had the spirit of the world working in us. Our spirit is dominating our thoughts. It's dominating our lives. And our spirits are alienated. When we cut God out of the program, they're alienated from the life of God. You're not pumping light into you. You're pumping darkness into you. Right? Look at Ephesians chapter 4. And we'll come back to this one again because I want to show something else later on. All right, look at Ephesians chapter 4. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their what? Your walk's going to be, it's going to be a reference of what? You with me? Did I give you the right passage? Everybody's looking at me funny. John 4 and 17, man. No, I'm picking. I might not have told you. Ephesians 4, 17. Well, y'all supposed to know this stuff. Ephesians 4, 17. No one of y'all look at me weird. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their what?
Mind.
Their mind. Where's the vanity at? Where's imagination's at?
Mind.
The mind's a big deal, isn't it? What do you think the devil wants from you?
Mind.
Well, he'd like to have my flesh because I'm so pretty. No, man, your mind. He wants to operate on your spirit. And that spirit, it enters right here is where it all begins. And I know it's deeper than that, but that's the gateway. Yeah, it's the gateway, folks. It's this right here. You know what I think will be one of the great torments? Of all of hell. You know, people talk about fire and burning and all that. That's bad enough, isn't it? But see, the spirit goes back to the Lord. And man is going to know then that he is totally alienated forever, eternity, without the thoughts of God. You didn't retain him in your thoughts. You never got saved. For all eternity, you will be alienated from that. You won't be able to recall the goodness of God. You won't be able to recall all that God has in His Spirit to give unto you. You rejected it, took your own spirit, and went to hell with it. I believe one of the great torments is going to be that you're forever alienated from the life of God. We know that from the life of God, but I'm talking about from the very thoughts of God. It's going to be torment. How dark of a place to be that your spirit cannot connect with God, can't even think on God. Right? You're going to be so occupied with how bad it is, how tormented it is, and you're going to be separated from that spirit that is God-conscious. The spirit you go to hell with is going to be self-conscious. It's going to be you and you and you and you, and God's going to say, there you go, you wanted you, there's all of you for all eternity. Selfish, 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 selfish. Fill all that up. Fill all that up. Have all of you you want because you rejected me. I truly believe that'll be one of the torments in hell. I truly believe that, right? Because the only light is in Christ. Right? There's no darkness in Christ. But anything outside of Christ is dark. You with me? All right, look at this next verse here. Look at 4 and 22 of Ephesians. That time I gave you the verse. 22, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Watch that. And be renewed in the spirit of your... Where? Spirit of your flesh? Spirit of your soul? The spirit of your mind. Watch. And that you put on the new man, which is after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Where does that begin? In the mind. He says renew the mind. Because when the mind is renewed over here, we're going to do something different here. He said now, renew the mind, right? The spirit of your mind. Now you're going to be pulling light. You're going to be pulling the word of God into the man, into the mind. You with me? Where's that going to go? It's going to give you some light, isn't it?
Yeah.
What's going to happen if that's light and this is light? How's the body going to function? It's going to move into doing the right things. It's the soul's going to motivate. See, people think, you know, they get by with this thing, well, my flesh is dead, and so therefore if I can't live right. That's not what the Bible tells you. The Bible tells you that He has quickened your mortal flesh. How would He ask you in Romans chapter 12 to be not conformed to this world, but to offer up your body a what? A dead sacrifice? A living sacrifice. How can that be done? Because of the Spirit of God. So what he's telling you, he's not trying to tell you that your flesh is good. What he's trying to say now is because the Spirit has brought in this light and you now have light in the inner man, now your body can work in accordance with that instead of in accordance with that. Right? Remember? You've never gone anywhere your mind and soul didn't say go. You can blame it on the snake. You can blame it on Adam. You can blame it on Eve. But your body didn't go anywhere that your mind and your soul didn't tell it to go. This is the life motivator right there. That's where you feel sorrow. That's where you feel pain. And that's where you react to the things, the emotions that you have that come in through this gate up here. That mind. Right? This may be a horrible analogy, but I've used it. Anybody here ever had a panic attack? I used to think that stuff wasn't real till it happened to me. Now, you want to know what made the panic bad? My mind. I was laying on the sofa one night and I'd taken some medicine. Listen, I'll tell you this short story. And it didn't react with me well. And my heart got to racing. And I was like, man. And I started putting an ambulance in my mind. I'm telling you the truth. This happened to me, man. And you know what happened when I put that ambulance in my mind with those flashing lights? That heart said, and I was like, oh God. Then I said, okay, think about something nice. You ever tried to think about something nice when you're having a panic attack? It don't work. It just don't happen. And I'm laying there, man, and my heart feels like it's going to jump out of my chest. And the next thing I hear is a siren. It was a real siren. It was above my neighborhood. I was like, I don't need that right now. That may be a horrible analogy, but what my mind was doing is putting pressure on my soul. Now you know what Hebrews talks about when he's talking about the Word of God being sharper than any two-edged sword, cutting asunder both spirit and what? Soul. There's two parts there. And even the body. And the spirit can trouble the soul. Right? And when the spirit troubles the soul reacts somehow, some way. Get real emotional people. They might cry. They might blow up. They might blow their top. But it all starts in this gate right here, and it gets to here. The problem with man, folks, it's God's not looking at you're too bad to save. The problem with man is he won't open up that gate and receive God's word by faith that he might give that light. Amen? That's his problem. He's alienated from the life of God because of his mind. Your soul's got no chance until the mind says, hey, I heard that. What does the Bible say? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Where do you hear at? Where's your ears? It gets into the mind, right? You believe that thing, or you can believe a bunch of garbage, right? You can believe a bunch of garbage how you're getting better and better and better, and one day God's going to love you. That's garbage. You're rotten, and no good for nothing, and God died on the cross for you. That's your nature. God saves sinners who will come to the knowledge that they are sinners. Not good. If you're going to make yourself good, you're not going to come to Christ. What you're going to think is you're doing something for Christ. Right? You got this thing, it's deeper, and we'll work on it the next time. Look at 2 Corinthians real quick. Keep in mind here that there's a process and what the enemy wants. You know, when he said over there in Romans, they were filled. They were filled with something. What were they filled with? All unrighteousness. Remember that? Then he starts to list and murderers and all that stuff and all that stuff. What does God tell us in the book of Ephesians to be filled with? The Spirit of God, right? What does Colossians say that should dwell in you richly? The Word of Christ. Can you see that the Spirit of God is in the Word of God? Christ is the Word of God. So over here, he said, be filled with the Word of God. Man filled himself with murderers and envies and drunkards and backbiters and all that stuff. Why? Because of darkness. Where's the darkness? In the mind. Don't forget. Watch these verses. If I can't tell you good enough, let Paul. Watch this. Therefore, seeing chapter 4, verse 1 of 2 Corinthians. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry and we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, not handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's what? Conscience, see that? In the sight of God. Now watch this. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Watch this. And whom the God of this world hath blinded with what?
Mind.
The minds. What's dark, folks?
Mind.
The mind. You with me?
Yeah.
Is this making any sense to you?
Yeah.
All right, now watch this. Of the mind of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Watch. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, we got a visitor out there now, have shined in your what? In your hearts. Why couldn't he get into your hearts before? Because the mind was blinded. What happened when the mind opened up? The heart, you got light in here, the gospel shined in there. You see how the spirit is a little more than just the mind, but it is going to be that driver, if you will. It's where it starts, is right here. You with me? Now go back and look at the same book, 2 Corinthians, and look at chapter 3. And look at verse 14. Verse 14. But their minds were what? Are y'all with me so far? Does this make any sense to anybody? I mean, it's for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in a reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even until this day when Moses read, the veil is up on their what? You know why their hearts are dark? Because their minds are blinded. You see, man got alienated from that life of God back here. And now what God's been trying to do with the gospel, with people who teach the Bible rightly divided, is to get your mind fixed on Him. Let the light come in through this gate so that it gets to here, right? He's going to save your soul when you make a decision up here to trust and believe Him. That's where you're going to retain God, right? In your knowledge here. And then when you believe by hearing and taking faith, because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, then that light's going to get pumped to this inner man. Now your goal is what? Is to take the light of the Scripture and take what Paul has given us and to fill yourself up with that Word of God, that the body would respond in accordance to the knowledge that you have. That's called practice. Right? Doctrine is teaching. Understanding is comprehension. Practice is doing what you've comprehended and what you understand by the light that came in that has now filled you up. Do you know why most people aren't functioning properly? They're still trying to offer up things to God to be accepted? Because they've been fed a bunch of darkness, and it didn't happen in the bar room. It happened from the church. Somebody told them that they were a sheep, they were a tree, they were a branch, kept pumping that in their mind, bring your tithes and offerings and all that. And they got filled up with that stuff. You know how they're responding? Like a baby. Church people all around, man. If you were to get this thing in people's minds that it's about Jesus Christ and not about them, right? Get them filled up with the Word of God, right and divided, you'd find some people doing some really good things that really will count for something one day, because it's not them doing it, but it's the Spirit of God in them doing it. When that soul gets so much light that it wants to study, it gets so much light, it wants to go forward. It's compelled by the love of Christ. It's generated by the Holy Spirit. That's when good things happen. So it ain't like your body's dead and you can't do anything good for God. That's an escape route. Right? That's your carnal mind. That's your fleshly mind thinking. No, He's quickened your mortal body because He has put the Spirit of God in you, that now you get all that in you. Now you can respond because the Spirit of God is generating it in you. You're not generating it out of yourself. Most people's fruit is generated by them. I fed the poor. You know, I went and cut Miss Johnson's grass. The Lord's saying, hey, anybody can cut grass. Right? I took in Miss Jones's groceries. Good for you. Anybody can take in groceries, right? I delivered the gospel today and somebody heard it and got saved. That's the light. That's the Spirit. That's not me. That's not you. That's us being servants of God because the Holy Spirit is working in us effectually because we believe the Word of God and good things come from that. You see what I'm saying? There's no excuse to be dead and I don't have a life. I can't do anything. Look at Ephesians chapter 1 and we'll get ready to close up. Ephesians 1. We've got to continue to, over the next couple of weeks, up to the Bible conference gets here anyway, to look at this type of thing because it's so strong. See, our nature in ourselves, folks, is not this. That's not our nature. Our nature is this. Now you got two natures. When a person becomes saved, they have two natures. You can do this over here even though you're over here. You can choose to take in dirt. You can choose to take in darkness. What that means is that functional life that Jesus Christ wants to live through you is not going to happen. Okay? Look here in Ephesians chapter 1, look at 17 and 18. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the Spirit. See that? Lowercase. Of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Wisdom and knowledge. Where's that at? In your mind. That the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. Where's the understanding? In your mind. Be enlightened that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of glory and inheritance in the saints. There you have the mind. You see that? That your understanding be enlightened. Did you get some light in here? Right? All right, now look at 3. Ephesians 3. So you see the mind in Ephesians 1. Look at Ephesians 3. Look at 13. Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit. Capital S. By His Spirit, where at? In the inner man. You see that? His Spirit in here. His Spirit in here. Right? My spirit opened up to allow His Spirit to come in. If I reject Him, His Spirit's not coming in. When I believe the gospel, how He died for my sins, was buried, and rose again, He gives me His Spirit. Right? Capital S. Okay? Most people want their spirit to dominate their life. Well, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. And I'm getting closer to God. God says, no, what you need is my spirit dominating your life. Because I can bring about what I purpose you to do. You can't bring about my purpose for you. My purpose wasn't that you do anything out of your flesh. I rejected that back there. My purpose for you is to be in you working that which is good. Him working that which is good. But when we reject to hold God in our knowledge, the light goes off. Right? There's people who are saved this morning and the light's not on. Okay? Just be real. And there's some people who are lost thinking the light is on. And it's not. Look in chapter 4. We went here just a minute ago, but I want to show you this one more time. So there you had the inner man. In chapter 1 you had the mind. Chapter 3 you had the inner man. Now watch this in chapter 4. Chapter 4. I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk. What do you walk with? Your legs? I did it again? Ephesians 4:17. My God, Randy. I'm start handing you my notes from now on. This I say, therefore, that you testify in the Lord that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. See that? You walk with what? Your legs. Now he's talking about the practice. You with me? Yeah. Light, walk. Got it? Where does it start at? Right there. What's the devil after? Because if he can get your mind, what's he got? He got you, man. Yeah. Just like he did Eve. Yeah. Right? Are you going to sit there and listen? You're going to sit in front of the news tube all day long and watch that negativity and all that darkness that they talk on there and they sing on there. Well, if you don't get this, you're going to die. I got news for you. Whether I get it or not, I'm going to die. Right? Huh? Yeah. Are you going to get vaccinated today? Or, you know, not making fun of anybody that has. That's fine if you have. But if you don't, you're going to die. Well, let me tell you something. If I do get vaccinated, eventually I'm going to die. Right? My luck, it'll be getting hit by a car the day after I got vaccinated. Right? Come out of the doctor's office and pow, you know, All this stuff, man. You sit there and watch doom and gloom. You're taking it all in, and that's the stuff you're pumping into your mind. And you know what happens? That soul becomes dark, and you start to worry, man. Am I going to have enough cheese to get me through Friday? Can I live? Can I do? And you know what people have done over the last year, man? They forfeited their life so they could be dead. They telling me not to go here, not to go there. I never stopped any of that. Arrest me. Right? I didn't quit living. Most people quit living so that they could just remain dead. I'm so afraid. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going to do anything. I'm not making fun of people who have had this thing out there called COVID, whatever. I'm just telling you that most people have let that stuff get pumped in their mind. They've got it whether they've got it or not. They're sick until proven healthy. Is that any different than being guilty to being proved innocent? Right? I know there's been people sick. I get that. But I'm not. And I'm not going to play sick because I'm not going to let that stuff get into here, man. I could get sick. Anybody could get sick. Great person that I know right now. Great Bible teacher. Stage 4 cancer. I pray for him every day. Love him to death. He didn't ask for it. Right? He didn't want it. He got it. He said, was that because he's a bad guy? Did he preach something wrong one Sunday? No. That's because we're in this state. The body, right? Sin. That's why things aren't perfect in this life, is because of that. But you're going to sit and watch or listen to somebody constantly pump into you dark stuff, and next thing you know, you're functioning accordingly. Every time the phone rings, you jump about that high. Yeah? You can't do that, folks. You've got to put the Word of God in you. That's where your comfort of life, and that's where your peace, and that's where your joy is going to come from, is when you let that light come in through that mind and you start to meditate and think about those things. When you read with what? Your eyes and what else? Your mind, right?
Yeah.
Read, study, take it in. The whole problem with man is when he got alienated from the life of God through ignorance and through his own rebellion, and it happened here. You got to understand, this thing about being, people want to call themselves Christian, but they don't have a clue what that would even mean. Right? I mean, Christian's a guy that gets up and dresses a certain way, and I do all that kind of stuff, and put the lipstick on. And man, you put lipstick on a pig, but he's still a pig, right? Think about what I'm saying. You've seen that stuff. They get all dressed up. That's a Christian.
Yeah, they look, like
look at them.
Yeah.
Well, you don't know what's going on in there.
Right. Amen.
So you were to go in someone's house and you see one guy, he's got pictures of Jesus on the wall, right? And you go in another man's house, he's got pictures of Iron Maiden on the wall. And most of us would go in and say, that guy's saved and that guy's lost. Well, that could be absolutely contrary. That could be flip-flop.
Yeah.
That guy might be saved and this guy might be lost.
Yeah,
right? You with me? So you understand what I'm saying? It's what's in here. And that's what matters, folks. And it's the light of the glorious gospel that shines into our hearts. And that's what lightens us up, the light of the Word of God. And we've made it everything except that. Okay? And we don't understand, we're reading a book like Romans. If you understand that, this principle, what I'm telling you, you can go now and read Romans and have an understanding of it. Before I close. Watch. These verses used to confuse me badly. Watch this. Go to Romans chapter 7. Verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal. What does that mean? Fleshly, right? Sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do. Paul said, man, I got a struggle. There's something out there. I hate to do it, but I do it anyway. Watch what he says. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but what? Sin that dwelleth in me. Well, I don't have no sin. Well, you're better than Paul, and I doubt that. Right? For I know that in me, that is in my what? His fallen flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. Not out of Paul, he couldn't find it, could he? Watch. But for the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. That's all you can do out of yourself. That's the way God says. He said, the plowing of the wicked is evil unto him. Right? Now, if I do that which I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after what? The inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind. That's the flesh. And bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in what? His members, his body. You see that? Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Folks, there's an answer. There's an answer. Watch. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. You see that? Well, don't leave it there. Go to the next chapter, man, and read. Right? And he's going to give you the difference between death, functional death, and functional life. And the book of Romans in chapter 8 is not talking about your position only. It's talking about your position and the Spirit of God to do God's will. That's what it's talking about. There's therefore now no condemnation of them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus have made me free from the law of sin and death. You see that? Paul just got freedom, didn't he? Why? Because of the light, the Word of God. He's found out there's something great about this thing called grace and light and peace and life. Go through 7 one day and count how many times he says death. Go through 8 one day and see how many times he says life. You understand? The book's got to be studied together. You know, Paul's giving you the position of the believer. And the position of the believer under law, trying to fix things through his carnal flesh, brings about death, functional death. But the freedom and the liberty we have in Christ Jesus by the Spirit makes us free from all that, and it gives us life. Understand? Functional life. For what the law could not do, and it was weak through the flesh, God sent His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be filled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Capital S. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. You see the difference? Light and walk accordingly. The Spirit, now you walk accordingly. Darkness, you walk what? Accordingly. After what? The flesh. You do what you want to do. The Spirit does what God wants to do. Right? What? For to be carnally minded is death. That means functional death. That don't mean when you go out here and you say a bad word day, you got to fall over dead. Right? If that's the case, there wouldn't be anybody in here. So he says, for the carnal mind is death, but the spiritually minded is life and peace. There's your life and peace, to be spiritually minded. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Nothing your mind can do to fix you. Right? So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Watch the great thing. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Watch. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. You get that? How much did you have to do with that? Nothing. You believed, you read, you studied, you heard, you took it in by faith. He says, I've got the rest covered. Right? So it's about the nature of man is opposite than the nature of God. We do things that we want. We get selfishly motivated, and we cut God off. Right? And then we believe that God's like a Pez dispenser, the great vending machine in the sky. I want Doritos, and I ask God, and He drops me Doritos, right? I want bubble gum, He drops me bubble gum. Why? Because I went to Sunday school this morning, and He owes it to me, right? That's garbage, man. I gave money, and God's going to give me a blessing. He's already blessed you. Hold that in your mind, right? All right. So with that being said, anybody have a comment or a complaint as we go off camera this morning, Randy? We'll wrap everything up. We'll take a question or two if you've got them.